Hey, welcome to the Meat House. This is Jeff. I am joined with my buddy Chris.
How you doing today?
Doing all right, man. How are you?
Outstanding. It's been a great week. We got a lot of things going on. Can't wait to tell you more about it.
Yeah, it's been a little crazy here, but I am sitting around with my best friend drinking some mead. That's, you know, always a good time. What is our topic of the week today, Chris?
Our topic for today is what container is best for making meats? I mean, you have a lot of options.
That's true.
We're going to talk about what is good for making it and eventually storing it.
Sure. All right. And let's see. I know you just cracked open a bottle. What are we drinking today? This is Citrological by Manic Meadery. Oh, Manic makes some good stuff. This is a lemon blossom, tropic blossom, and orange blossom mead with citrus zest, aged in a gin barrel for 8 months.
Looking forward to this.
Yeah. Let's pour out some glasses here and enjoy.
So, I've recently bottled some of my meads that I've been doing here. And I've bottled some dragon fruit, some pomegranate, and they've come out very nice. I've even had a Rhone berry or choke cherry, same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That has a very tart bite, but I'm very pleased with it.
I mean, tart can be good. It's one of those things, and we've talked about in a future episode, we're going to kind of talk about the finishing steps and getting things kind of finalized. I think as long as you get the right sweetness dialed in, the Rhone berry also, if I remember correctly, comes with a lot of tannins as well.
So, oh my gosh, yeah. So many.
So once you get those settled, it turns into, from what I remember at least, from the couple I've had, a pretty nice mead. So,
yeah. I mean, it's got a little bit of bite in the back of the mouth, but very enjoyable. Very enjoyable.
How about the dragon fruit? What's that turning like?
Very, very mild. I mean, it's got a very small bite in the back. But it's a very mellow, mellow mead, very relaxing. I was very pleased. I'm gonna bring some in as soon as I get a little bit of aging done on them.
Sure. That sounds great. I don't remember if I've ever actually had a dragon fruit mead, so that'll be a new experience for me. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, this blossom mead is again very pale yellow, a little bit darker than what we've had in the past. But
yeah, this is I don't know if I would call that gold or straw, but it's pretty. Pretty dark. It looks like the skin of a lemon.
Almost no smell. I can smell. I mean,
it's light. There's a light note of.
I can get a little bit of citrus in the fragrance, but yeah. I'm not getting very much at all.
I get some honey. I get some citrus, but it's light on both counts. The honey to me is a little stronger than the citrus, even. But I mean, the bulk of the ingredients here is listed as being citrus blossom honeys. And with a little bit of some kind of citrus zest. Did it say
it? I think it said lemon, didn't it?
It just says citrus zest.
Okay.
But it's lemon blossom, tropical blossom, and orange blossom. So, yeah.
Very good meat, though. Very enjoyable. The taste is very smooth, and it actually hits the front of the mouth harder than anything else.
Yeah. It does have a decent body to it. It's very, I don't want to say syrupy, but it has a level of thickness to it that is a bit surprising for a meat this light. Tasting, you know, obviously it's a citrus meat, so there's a nice amount of acidity to it.
It's a good meat, though.
Yeah, it's got some good sweetness to it. I'm getting a little bit of that gin barrel too, like right over the hard palate. And
yeah, that's what that is. Okay,
that kind of. I don't know if it needed that, but it adds a little something nice to it.
And it's not offensive.
Yeno, that's I think that's just one of those little tweaks that gave it just a little bit more, and I'm here for it.
Now, okay, what container is best for making mead? I mean, I make mead in plastic or glass, and it's food-grade plastic.
Sure. Like we talked about before, the number 2 or HDPE is the one I could not remember weeks ago when we talked about this last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do a lot of plastic myself. You know, one of the problems that especially became exacerbated for me when the pandemic hit was that we started having a lot less people over. Obviously, because
things,
reasons, and the turnaround for mead got a lot slower.
Yeah,
because you know we would have a party for you know my wife's birthday or something, and I'd put a keg of something and a keg of something else on ice, and those kegs would be half gone by the end of the party.
Yeah, But when there's nobody around,
yeah, no,
we can
that's
only drink so much.
that's another 5 whole gallons that is just not getting drank.
Yeah, and can't do that. It's a lot. Okay, now you mentioned to me once upon a time that the problem with plastic it is there's a permeability.
It's not necessarily a problem. Plastic, the HDP, the plastic that we
use. The plastic we use. The food grade plastic we use.
You guys know what we're talking about now, right? That has a level of micropermeability to it that is not much different than if you age something in an actual wooden barrel, for example.
Okay, so it's very light.
It is a little bit more permeable than a barrel, unless you get a thicker plastic. And I know, I think, God, it was like 10 years ago now, I heard about some company that was making food grade plastic that had the ability to mimic the oxygen permeability of a barrel. I'm not sure what happened to that, whether that just kind of went away or was, you know, it has a niche in the marketplace somewhere, but never really got to the homebrew level. Yeah, hard to say. I would like to
experiment with that personally, but I'm not really big into aging like that. So.
Right. And here is the thing where oxygen permeability is a factor, but it's not a huge factor because when we're talking about doing meads, we're not talking about long-term bulk aging, right? We're talking, you know, my meads stay in fermenter for a couple months tops. And
the ones I currently bottled were actually in longer because of health issues I had at the time I was in a small accident. And, they had to wait for me.
They did have to wait. And hopefully, you know, nothing terrible happened there.
No. Everything's fine. I'm quick recovery. I'm doing great. But my mead was not my concern.
No. Yeah. This is the nature of life and that sometimes our hobbies have to take a backseat to stuff. And we've all been there.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Now, another thing I use is glass carboys.
Yes.
I have a 6-gallon glass carboy. I think you gave me.
I think I gave you a few glass carboys,
yeah, actually. The biggest one was a 6-gallon one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you gave me a 6.5-gallon, actually. Two or, what was it, 5-gallon?
I have, I think I gave you a 6.5, a 6, and a couple 5s.
Yeah, yeah. You gave me like 4, and I still have them. I use them. I use them for a lot for racking and such like that.
Well, and we'll talk about when we get to cons, there's a reason I got rid of my glass.
Anyway, okay, we'll get there. But we're going to talk about more about the permeability and bulk aging in a later episode. But,
yeah, yeah.
But now, plastic, the pros of plastic are cheaper. It's cheaper, it has to be food grade, it needs a hole in a gasket for the airlock, or have some kind of structure that you don't need an airlock. I've seen those two where they just have a lid that fits nicely and will burble on its own.
I
prefer an airlock.
Yeah, and I know that they're making silicon waterless airlocks for like carboy bungs and things like that.
Really?
I'm not sure if they go to the like the 5.5 for the gallon jugs these days, or if they're just that number 6. I haven't jumped on that bandwagon, but I know a lot of some of the pros, some of the like mead personalities on YouTube or what have you have jumped on those too. I just haven't had an opportunity to try it, especially because, you know, someone took all my glass. So,
no, someone, you gave your glass to someone you like.
Someone received all my glass.
Yes. And if you want some back, I'll be glad to share. Okay. All right.
Anyway. So another thing that I like about plastic, though, is just the container itself is light. What I have switched to mostly, especially when it comes to like, hey, you know, we don't have people over as often anymore. These 5-gallon batches are not getting turned over. I got the 3-gallon big mouth bubblers.
I've got 3 of those myself.
Yeah, those are great. They have the empty weight of those containers is almost nothing.
Yeah, they're light. They're
yeah. Light. So all the weight you're putting into that is the liquid.
By the same token, when you want to move them and they're full, you need a harness. You need something to carry them with because they bend easily.
Their internal structure is not high. So yeah, you have to be very careful moving them. I luckily generally don't move my stuff very much once it gets going, but that is a concern. Yes.
Well, honestly, my wife kind of dictates if I get to move something or not. So you move that. Okay. God, yes, dear. love you, dear. Anyway.
Such is the nature of, you know, sharing a house with your significant other. Yes.
Yeah. For plastic, a ton of plastic is easy to scratch. Now, scratching is a problem.
Yes.
You make area for bacteria to wait and lurk. Mm-hmm. And once you get your solution, your water, honey, all that in there, if the bacteria gets to it faster than the yeast does, You're going to lose a batch.
This is we have talked about sanitation before. We will talk about it again. Sanitation is
King.
it
King.
is such an important thing to consider because it is such an easy thing to F up. And so, as I've told Chris, and he has championed, get good at sanitation first, and then it's all standard operating procedure from you as you get into more complicated stuff, bigger recipes, doing more things. The issue though with plastic is that it is possible to scratch, and those scratches you might miss if you're doing a scrub down, or the sanitizer might not get all the way down there. That is a good spot for biofilms or bacterial colonies to throw and hide,
Wait for you.
right?
I just wait for you.
And then the next thing you throw in there, it's open season.
Now, on the other side, there's also plastics can stain. At this point, the stain in itself is not personally a mind problem for me. Problem is, I don't know how clean it is if it's stained.
Staining is not such a big deal. Generally, that's anthocyanins and tannins from your mead. If you're doing something red-ish, those are the things that stain. And actually, I've been told that a lot of the commercial like red winemakers, obviously they have big, like thick 3-inch tubes that they move, their 6,000 deciliter fermenters from one to another and things like that.
That's huge.
Those tubes are very prone to staining. From what I've told, the trick to unstaining those is a mixture of citric acid and potassium metabisulfite.
Okay, yeah.
You mix that
The
into what
cleaner
they
we use now.
right. You mix that into what they call strong citric, and then push that through the tubes, and that gets a lot of the staining off.
Okay,
So
so stains are not the problem as much as bacteria is the problem.
bacteria is always a
Yeah,
problem.
bacteria, I
Mold
knew
is
that.
a problem. Other funguses other than your chosen yeast strain are a problem. Staining is it's an aesthetic thing.
And we've already gone over the fact that, if you don't have a very sturdy plastic container there, they can be hard to move around.
Yes, yeah.
But, that's kind of minor.
The other pro to these though, compared to glass or stainless steel, you can replace them fairly cheaply. The 7 gallon like plastic buckets that I like to use, last I checked, those were running for $30. That's
Yeah.
a little on the high side.
And if I went anyway, the 10 gallon I'm looking at, that's like 80. And that's
Realistically, the big mouth bubblers that I was talking about, those guys run
actually 55. It was 55.
55 for your
The
10
10
gallon.
gallon one,
Yeah.
yeah.
The big mouth bubblers, I think they run in the $20 to $30 range.
Yeah,
It's been a
they're
minute.
inexpensive. I'm glad I
So
got them.
if you've got to trash one or recycle it or whatever and replace it, it's not the biggest kick in the pants for you either.
And here's something for you. The buckets they have at Lowe's and Home Depot are food grade.
Yes.
You can put a hole in those, put a gasket in those, and you have a container. It's 5 gallon container.
I have absolutely done that with 2 gallon buckets from them. They literally say food grade on them. You can go into the hardware aisle and find the gasket you need for that hole, even.
And
Just
it's dead easy to do.
right, bring your airlock, get a little spade bit or something like that will cut a good round hole. A twist drill bit will kind of,
Dance around
yeah,
there.
it'll script the edges, so that might not seal the grommet well. But yeah, this is very doable, very
And
doable.
so you don't need, we get ours from, once again, we work with Bacchus and Barleycorn. We're
And
going to
we
do our
should
play.
mention, thank you to Bacchus and Barleycorn.
Bacchus and Barleycorn is our go-to place. Jake and his people, they're good people. They have the gaskets if you want to get them from them.
Yeah, they have the gaskets, they have the buckets, the big mouth bubblers, they have basically any kind of a fermentation vessel you could ask for. And hey, if you use our discount code, which is MHP10 on their website, save a little money. That's M like mead,
Mead,
H like
H,
house,
house.
P like podcast. 10, like how much you're going to save.
There you
So,
go. Can't get any easier. But, oh, right, next one we're going to talk about is the glass, carboys.
right.
Glass carboy. Now, glass is heavy to
Yes.
start with. It's a struggle.
It is not light. I mean, these are the traditional fermentation vessels for a lot of home winemakers for something like a century, though. I mean, like, I have seen old-timey photos of, like, Italian immigrants with, big old like 10, 20 gallon. They are more demijohns than carboys. It's a different shape, but it's the same idea. It's a glass jug.
But they're absolutely huge. And again, the 6.5 gallon I have, I don't move it around empty because A, it's glass, and B, it's heavy. And I do have a harness to pick things up with, and that's how I move it. But the advantage of that is they're easier to clean. They don't scratch. A scratch on glass is A, notable, And B, I'm not gonna use it anymore anyway.
Yeah. And the other nice thing about glass from a secondary aging standpoint, when we get into that secondary aging, you can see right through it. So you can see how clear your glasses how
Your
clear
medium.
your mead is going, whether that's flocculating and everything settling down nicely. That's not a perfect representation of when your mead is done, but I mean, it's a good context clue to say, okay, well, I need to plan on checking on this guy because it's getting pretty clear.
And plus, if you're after you've killed your yeast and you let it settle, you can see it's time to start filtering, racking, whatever you need.
Next steps,
It, the next steps are just so much easier to see. The problem is glass, of course, it's breakable, but it usually clean doesn't stain nearly as easily.
No, it doesn't. It's hard to get stain. You need to get a good thick layer of tannin into a glass for it to stain in a way that is permanent and doesn't like wash out with a little, you know. The biggest pain in the butt for me with glass is those cases where it does get a little stained or a little funky, and you've got to find that crazy cleaning brush thing to
Yeah,
get
the kind you put in, looks like a whip inside a bottle,
right.
or like the car wash thing, and you just took it to a roll.
Right, or the L-shaped like nylon bristle thing that you got to feed in there and kind of wiggle sideways and do a little shimmy to get
And
the stuff out.
do it, and wiggle it the same way twice does not make it go to the same place twice.
No.
Those things are hard,
Yeah.
but yeah, but and glass is much easier to keep clean, and you work it that way. Now the big one. The ones that people, yeah, I'm gonna just get this stainless steel thing. No, not at first. Don't do that. First of all, stainless steel is very expensive.
Not necessarily.
Really?
There are some my the we are recording in my brew room for for better or for worse, and over to our left is the SS Brewtech's 7 gallon stainless steel fermenter that I was awarded as a judge's prize for one of the first like local competitions that I've judged. And it's a stainless steel fermenter. It is, like we will talk about in a little bit, it's great. I enjoy it. I've seen these running for as little as 150.
Okay, that's not bad.
It's not terrible.
But the ones I've seen are conical, and those are a bit more pricey.
Well, this is relatively conical. It's not quite like
Okay.
conical to a spout at the bottom. It just has a little tap near the bottom. But yeah, no, you can, if you go looking for stainless steel vessels, now bear in mind, buy from a good manufacturer. You can probably find even cheaper ones on sites like Shein or Temu or things like that.
Wish,
That
but no, I'm not using. I don't use their clothes. Their stainless steel containers.
So one of the things about stainless steel is that you have to be very careful with any time your brews come in contact with welds or joints or things like that, because those are just like a scratch in plastic. That's somewhere where if it's not very clean and very, very not permeable to stuff, bacteria, mold, crap like that can hide in there and it just gets nasty. Those are also generally the first places that start to rust. So get a good manufacturer that you trust, pay a little bit more. SS Brewtech, I think, is has been a good one for me. I know Anvil Foundry makes nice ones too, but they use those manufacturers that you know and trust can be relied on to make good welds. They have good quality steel. They will last. It's an investment in your hobby. Once you decide that, yeah, no, I'm going to be doing this for a while, I might as well
Make an
make
investment.
the jump.
Yeah. And that's my next step, actually. I'm looking at something stainless steel for me as soon as I make a space for it in my basement.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because I've been doing this long enough, I think I can make that jump.
Well, and stainless steel is very nice because it's basically as easy to clean as glass. It's as or nearly as scratch resistant as glass. You can, if you want to, like, hell, you could stick it in your oven if you have enough space in your oven and like heat sanitize it if you really wanted to. I'm not sure what that would do as far as the temper of the steel,
I
but
don't think it's going to do much, but we'll talk about sanitation less later episode.
yeah, we'll worry about that another time. But no, there are so many good parts about having stainless steel. It's not as heavy as glass for the, and you get the thickness of, sorry, a thin piece of steel has a structural integrity that a thin piece of plastic doesn't.
That's
So,
true.
to me, now that I have a stainless steel fermenter, I don't want another kind of fermenter. I still use plastic a lot because I have to have more than one thing going at once. It's just the nature of the beast. But
But yeah, but stainless steel, it can be hard to clean at the joints. You have to be careful, with the spouts and spigots and things like that. You have to be careful and clean it thoroughly there.
Right. The other thing you need to be mindful of is that even though the stainless steel is very durable, there are little bits and bobs, like the joint, not the joint, the spigot hole at the bottom of mine is, it's a screw piece. So there's an inside and outside. They have like an NTP plumbing joint. And on either side of those is a little silicone gasket. You got to check the gaskets. Those gaskets can wear out. You can get a leak from there. Even if your stainless steel is completely solid, little pieces of rubber and silicone, you got to check those, what, every 6 months, year, just to make sure that they are
Just
still intact.
regularly.
Yeah, keep an eye on that.
But yeah, but again, stainless steel, and even before I knew about the lack of expense, I thought it was a far superior way of doing it. And replacing the gaskets not much.
No, you can get those at Bacchus and Barleycorn or your hardware store anywhere you need to, probably for generally like a buck or two at
Yeah.
most.
And
Generally, like we're still talking cents even in this day and age.
but okay, obviously we both agreed that stainless steel would be the best one to make. And keeps, while you're making the meat, keep the meat in.
Right.
Glass second.
I think plastic second.
Glass, okay.
You and I have both, I think, been fortunate enough that we have never dropped a glass carboy full of meat.
We have not.
I have seen pictures, previous co-hosts, and just people on Facebook and Reddit and things like that that have dropped glass carboys. And
God,
hey, so
no.
let's preface this by saying any 5, 6, 7 gallon fermenter that is full of mead, you drop it, you're probably not getting that mead back, right?
Oh, I mean, regardless of what you have then.
Your stainless steel is probably getting dented. Maybe if you've got, a savvy friend, you can hammer it back into shape. Maybe,
You're pushing it.
plastic is going to shatter.
And you have to keep in mind, a gallon of water is 8 pounds,
Right.
a gallon of honey is 12. I mean, there's a huge difference in weight here.
Very big.
And if you multiply that by 5, 6, 7, 10, 20 gallons, that's a huge amount of weight.
Right.
Huge amount of
Right,
weight.
right, right. So glass, on the other hand, will also shatter like plastic, but that will leave sharp, jagged pieces. And if your hands are anywhere near them, I've seen cases where, the glass ends up in your flesh.
And hopefully you just you don't get that, but stitches are not out of the question here.
Right. That the pain of moving glass around, the possibility of dropping it, that is what prompted me to get rid of my glass. It's just I would rather work with plastic or steel.
And I'll be honest, I rarely use my glass anything other than racking. And then I rack it right back.
Sometimes you just need a container that is,
Big enough.
clean and free to house stuff.
Okay, so plastic is second choice, and then glass obviously is third.
Right.
I've also heard of silicon containers. Do they have those in containers? Or are they just for like tools and such?
That's a good question. I've not really seen a lot of like silicon fermenters out there that I this is
I'll
unfamiliar
be
to
honest,
me,
I
so.
haven't seen any of that. I've looked at when I was m making the pr format for the show. I tried to find some. I could not. But, it's a big world inside that web.
Yes, it
And
is.
I'm not saying they don't exist, but what would you say about if you found a silicon or silicon lined container?
So silicon lined especially could be useful. Silicon is non-permeable. It's generally like fairly inert when it comes to even things like high acid content, musts and things like that. That could be good. I would think it would also be prone to staining in a way that even plastic is maybe worse than plastic.
Okay. I just want to get your opinion on this because
Right.
I couldn't find enough information to make an opinion.
I know I there are a lot of the tools that I have that have silicone little gaskets and ends and bits and bobs. The my stainless steel racking cane, for example, has like a plastic, not plastic, has a silicone little end cap so it doesn't suck up all the trub at the bottom of the fermenter. And then like little seals and stuff around the different parts. But I don't know about silicone as a like a soul fermenting thing or
Container.
even as a
Again, I
lined
haven't found
beverage.
any. Yeah, I haven't found any, but the silicon came up in a discussion and I wanted to explore that a little bit.
Sure.
All right, well, that is about what to make your meat in. These are the things to make your meat in. Now, as a side note, when the tools you the stirrer, the thief, the all these things you use for your stainless steel, anything non-permeable, not bamboo, not wood, not a good plastic or stainless steel.
Right. Generally speaking, yes.
Or glass in case of the thief and things like that. The thief being how we test what we've got going.
Right. Yeah. No. Glass in those cases for small things like a wine thief, I'm fine with because it is non-permeable. It's inert. It's very proof against acids and things like that. And when we're talking about like a, you know, a 1 foot little glass tube that is maybe
Half an inch across.
wide, yeah, that's not a heavy amount of glass.
No. But be careful of what you're using as tools when you're making your meat, as much as what you're putting your meat in.
Right. I've heard of some cases, incidentally, and when we get to talking deeper into like different kinds of yeasts and we discuss kveik, a lot of like the Nordic farmhouses that make these the kveik alcohol that these yeast strains are named for, they have different ways of storing the yeast that is not like, okay, I'm gonna top crop and I'm gonna like dehydrate or put on agar or something like that. Generally, it's like they will make an intricate little wreath of wooden slats and set that in the beer as it's fermenting to catch yeast, and then they'll hang that up to dry for next season. Or else Granddad has his special stir stick, which is literally a big wooden spoon that he uses to stir the next batch.
It has yeast on it from the previous batches.
Or from, yeah, centuries of batches for all we know.
That sounds like a great topic to talk about another
Another time.
show.
Yeah.
Yeah,
No,
because
for.
I see the opening of a rabbit hole here. I want to jump in.
Yeah, this sounds like something fun to experiment with, but right now we're talking about best practices for your average everyday mead maker that is getting started or is looking to up their game. Yeah, like we've said before, glass,
Plastic.
metal, stainless steel, HDPE, stainless steel plastic, those are all acceptable tools. They're great. Hey gang, editor Jeff and editor Chris here in just dropping in with a quick note. Valkyrie's Horn, we've mentioned those a time or two before, and it is coming up. If you
Really
want to
soon,
Yeah,
really soon.
within a month or so from the date of this release. So if you want to be a part of it, if you want to get involved, stewarding, cellar staff, judging, if you're capable of doing it, I think they may even have judging. It's probably a little late to get a judge certification in, but you know, get involved. These
Yeah.
are great competitions.
Join me as a steward. I mean, we have a great amount of fun, and we taste phenomenal meads, for the most part.
Yeah, you're working, but you're not really working. You're having more fun than you're working,
Yeah.
right?
I mean,
Yeah.
was it last year we had a picture of a large, huge table of me going work, 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 work.
Yeah,
It was tough.
you can check our Facebook from a week ago, a year ago. Got enough in that drunk.
Yeah,
No,
I've not done that much yet.
we will. No, I just went all the way up and down a table of all the different meats we had just for trying for
Yeah.
S and G's.
And it's not even just the meads, it's the information that's there, it's the people you're going to talk to. You'll learn so much just walking around. It's amazing.
The friends, the fellowship, the information, highly recommend. So if you're interested, the link will be in the show notes to get involved. You can volunteer as a steward, cellar staff, whatever.
Think it's first weekend in March.
Yes, the 7th and 8th. So it'll be Friday, Saturday. You can drive home on a Sunday and, you know, take your time doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, check it out if you're interested. And we just wanted to interject and say, hey, you should look into that because
Come meet us, hey.
we will be there.
Yeah, but I'm going to call this a good show here, and I appreciate being over here and talking and having a meet with my buddy. We'll see you on the next meet house. Join us then.
Cheers, everybody. Have a good day.